JP Shadrick. How you doing, JP?
Doing great. Big week here in Jacksonville, fellas. How y'all doing?
Yeah, explain the vibe. Tell us what the vibe is, because, you know, things are always quiet here in Foxborough. Belichick gives you nothing. Brady gives you nothing. It's always on, we're on the Jacksonville. We're on the Jacksonville. What's the vibe in Jacksonville?
Well, the vibe in Jacksonville is that it's week two, at least inside the building. You know, week two, the Jags are 1-0. It's the home opener. All they can do this week is go to 2-0. Now, if you leave TIAA Bank Field and walk outside of this place, like I just did a moment ago, it is full on. They want blood. They want to exorcise the demons of January, all the Jaguars fans from that AFC Championship game and everything that happened in that fourth quarter. There's a lot of thought about that game and a revenge factor of sorts for the fans. The players aren't buying the revenge factor stuff. It is a regular season game, but for the fans around here, I mean, this is, just thinking about it, talking to people who've been here much longer than I have, you know, people who've been here from day one in 1995, I've only been here about, this is my seventh season, you know, so, this is one of, if not the biggest regular season home game in franchise history.
Wow.
Because of everything that happened in January, it's one of the most anticipated seasons. The window's open for this team right now on defense especially. Everybody's here still. You haven't had to cut anybody yet. Salary cap and all that's coming up down the road. So this is the year you get the Patriots here. You've never beaten Belichick and Brady. They're 0-8 against them all time.
Wow.
So this place is going to be rabid on Sunday.
Now, are there concerns, JP, though? I mean, I heard one player from the Jags saying this is the biggest week of his life. I mean, are any concerns that...
No.
It's like, hold back. It's week two.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's Miles Jack, and he's going to tell you what he thinks, especially what happened on that play in Foxborough in January when he wasn't down. And, you know, he thought he was going to go in for the touchdown to put him up 3 scores with 13 and a half minutes to play. And that Miles Jack wasn't down thing, by the way, it's become a little larger than life down here. It doesn't just represent that play anymore. It kind of represents the Jacksonville against the world mentality, you know, against the league, against the Patriots, against, so you see it on shirts, it's on coffee cups, it's, I mean, it is taking a life of its own. You will see signage in the stadium and shirts and everything on Sunday, with the Miles Jack wasn't down, but it means a whole lot more than that one play. So that's why Miles said that like that. And I don't think he's exaggerating too much. This is an important game. Not only for the Jaguars, certainly, but for him personally, just to continue the growth as the play caller on defense and the middle linebacker for this team for the foreseeable future.
JP, before we get to the players and Jalen Ramsey and all that, what's the weather going to be like? We know the weather in the South right now is devastatingly not good. It's also supposed to be 90 degrees this weekend in Jacksonville. What do we know about the weather report for game time?
The latest I saw, I mean, the hurricane stuff's supposed to stay north of us. That's a little bit up the road. So I walked outside. It's bright sunshine here today, and it is about 94, 95 degrees today, and that's just another day here in Florida in September. No big deal. You know, I heard there might be some rain, some outer band stuff of that coming in here on Sunday, so you could see a little bit of rain. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid. And that's right in the Jacksonville's hands. They've trained in this. They train here right outside the stadium for training camp. They're used to it. This is the first of 3 consecutive home games for the Jaguars, so they're hoping that that hot weather and the mugginess and all that kind of plays into their hands a bit. So it's going to be warm, might be a little wet, but hey, welcome to Florida.
JP Shadrick, part of the Jags radio team, getting us ready for Pats and Jaguars 4:25 on Sunday. Has Jalen Ramsey's talking put the target on the rest of the team to back it up?
Oh, I think, you know, he's not the first one on this team to say anything, by the way. Last year, Tashaun Gibson had a little something to say about his former team, the Cleveland Browns. Now I get it. They were the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Not a huge fun enough Patriots. But then, you know, the defense rallies around that. Okay, let's go support our guy. There was another instance last year similar to that. Well, this, you know, he's coming out and saying all the stuff, but that's Jalen. And I think they like that kind of Jalen in their locker room, a guy who is not scared to tell you what he thinks about certain things, and then you got to go back it up. Now, Jalen is a very, very particular and smart individual. He is not just running off at the mouth. I mean, that's not his game. He knows exactly what he's saying and why he's saying it, and the ramifications of saying them. That's, you know, if you just read his quotes, oh, he's just brash and young and talking. No, no, no. He's he knows what he's doing. And if he says that, you know, that he feels a certain way about a certain guy, it's because he does. And he feels like he can match up and do all that. So, it doesn't hurt this team because of the confident, strong, veteran group of guys. A lot of these guys have been around the league for a little while. So, a little comment like that, hey, let's go support our brother and go play well.
What do we know about Leonard Fournette? What's the latest on him? And he probably won't practice, so it will have to be a game-time decision, I'm assuming.
That's what it is. He's going to be questionable for the game in the last injury report of the week. So, I'm going to guess they'll work him out. I know they probably did this afternoon after practice just to kind of get him to run a bit. And then tomorrow they'll probably see what he's feeling like. And then pre-game warm-up, hey, get out there early. Let's see what you got. And if you're good to go, you're good to go. If not, then they won't go for it. I mean, that's the trick. You know what he is, and you know what this offense is with him. They've got that extra thump, that extra power game in the running game when he's in there. It didn't have it in the second half last week. But you also have 14 games left this season. And you don't want to aggravate that hamstring because those things, boy, they don't go away. If you tweak it now and just try to come back too fast. But he's confident in it. Just hearing him talk this week, Doug Marrone is more confident than we've heard him on something like that in a little while. So for me right now, it's still a coin flip. I think it's just how he feels when he gets up on Sunday and how he goes through the warm-up.
You feel like the team's pretty much just as good with T.J. Yeldon back there?
I can't say that, because Leonard Fournette is your playmaker on offense. Yeah. He's the guy. I mean, he's the offensive captain, for goodness sake. Yeah. Him and Blake Bortles, and the center, Brandon Linders. So you take Fournette off the field, you're taking one of your best offensive players off the field. So I don't think that, you're close, but you're not the same offense. Yeldon's a different back. He's shifty. He can make guys miss. He's really good out of the backfield in the passing game, pass protection, all that. And Leonard's coming around to be more of a three-down type of back. But Leonard has a little something extra, man. He can score from anywhere on that field, and TJ just can't do that. And that's okay. I mean, Corey Grant can, but he's a different guy altogether from those two. So you lose Fournette, you're losing a lot of your identity, but they're confident that they can still call a lot of the same stuff with TJ Yeldon. It just might look a little bit different, let's say.
JP, I was in Jacksonville last year for Jaguars Seahawks, and they did a number on Seattle's defense at the end of the year, and we saw how good they were in the AFC title game for the first three quarters. How dynamic can this offense actually be when it's clicking? All this talk about Bortles not being that great, I've seen them look pretty darn good on multiple occasions in big games.
Yeah, there was a big that last month of the season, early in December, late November, when Fournette wasn't playing great, he had gained some weight, his ankles hurting him, and all this stuff. Who goes out there and leads this offense? Blake Bortles. I mean, he had 120 ratings like 3 weeks in a row, which for him is unheard of. I mean, that was stuff that he hadn't seen in his career before. But it was a build-up of those years and that time in the offense, and things clicked for him. And you got to remember, he did that last year with rookie receivers. I mean, Allen Robinson was on the first third down of the year, is done for the season, week one. They had to bring in Keelan Cole. Who the hell is that?
Yeah.
They had to bring in, D.D. Westbrook was hurt the first half of the season, the rookie. He came on late. You got Jadon Mickens, a first-year player who's basically a specialist, a punt returner out there. I mean, you're not throwing to these. What are we throwing to, right? But he still got it done, and he got those guys going along. Now, the thing with this year, Blake could have a pretty good game this week because these guys, they didn't get the passing game going great last week. They're trying to establish things on offense. If Leonard's not out there, they might force them to go down the field a little bit more. And you've got experience now at wide receiver. Another year in the offense with Keelan Cole and D.D. Westbrook. And you've got Dante Moncrief here, who's been in the league a little bit. And guys like that, you start mixing it up. Hey, who do you cover? You've got the tight end now, Safarian Jenkins. So, there's a thought that this could be a pretty good day for Blake Bortles if the offensive line can keep him clean, and I think they can.
JP Chadrick, part of the Jags radio team with us here on the Huddle 101.3, The Game. Again, I told you I enjoyed my game in Jacksonville, even though my Seahawks got thumped in that one. Are we going to hear this damn Duval chant through our television screens all the game?
Yeah, that's how it works. And guess what? They're doing a new thing this year. Like in Seattle, they do the 12th man, somebody does the flag and all that stuff, right? I mean, Well, here they're going to do the opening Duval of the game.
Oh.
And that's starting this week. And former Jaguars tackle, he's in the ring of honor here. Tony Boselli is first one to do it. So the place will go nuts, of course. And national TV audience, 425 kickoff. And you haven't heard anything yet.
Is it sold out, JP? Is it sold out or 20 tickets still?
Easy. Are you kidding?
Easy. Come on now. It's a fantastic sellout. And it's one of those games where they raise the ticket prices face value as well. So, it's going to be an unbelievable scene. I don't know if it'll be a record crowd or any of that stuff because the capacities have changed over the years. But, boy, it's one of the scenes we haven't seen around here in a long, long, long time. Big ball game. Yes, it is week two, but it is a very important game because the Jags win this game. All of a sudden, okay, you're turning heads around the league again. Here they are. They're for real now. They knocked off Brady for the first time, and they are the early season contender in the AFC if they can knock this team off this Sunday.
JP, all that's great. You tell me how excited everyone is. Is it still a bigger deal than Georgia-Florida football, or is the college game still bigger than this one?
Well, that's a great question because you got to remember for the Florida Georgia game that they add seats to the stadium. I mean, for the Jaguars, it's about 67,000 or something. Well, for Florida Georgia, they bring in temporary seats, and it's up to like 85,000 seats in here or something. I mean, it's insane. It was a college town for all those years, Florida Georgia. Gainesville's an hour and 15 minutes down the road, and Georgia, Athens, probably 4-hour drive away. Florida State's 2.5-hour drive to the west from here. So that's the hotbed, obviously. But once the team got here, once the Jaguars got here in 95, over the years it has become a Jaguars town, man, and especially if they're playing well. Now, they have been playing well the last few years. Last season is the exception. When this team is good, when the Jaguars are good, they dominate the market. They dominate the TV ratings. They certainly draw more on television than the Florida Gators and the Florida State Seminoles do, even when they're good. I mean, that's just how it is now. It's the NFL, it's the king, and it's 24 years in for this franchise. So they are established here, and this is an NFL town now, whether people outside of here believe it or not.
And by the way, before we let you leave, JP, but you mentioned the T-shirts and the cups. One of our listeners just texted and said, when a ball changes possession to a player from one player to another, that player is considered down by contact. Look it up. You got the Patriot fans mad now. How about that?
Good. Great. Fine. No, great. It didn't take much, did it?
It never does.
Super Bowl ring. Don't be so sensitive.
Yeah. We're a spoiled bunch up here, aren't we?
I love it. JP, that was a pleasure. We got to do it again. Good luck. Enjoy the game. We'll speak to you later on.
It's going to be a fun one, fellas. I appreciate you, and always great to be with you.